The following broadcast is a presentation of Mountford Free Methodist Church in Decatur, Illinois. Join us Sunday mornings for worship and life together throughout the week as we love God and love others. For service times and learn more about our community, go to DecaturFMC.org. Where last week we looked at Jesus meeting the Samaritan woman, the woman at the well, and how he loved her, how he reached out to her, didn't see who she was, the sin in her life, didn't see the that she was a different person than he was. He just loved her unconditionally, and how we need to do the same. And so as this Sunday, as we are going to end with communion together, this Sunday, what we're going to do is we're going to dive into the story of the Last Supper and look at what's been going on, what's happening in the midst of this story. And we're going to look at one person in particular, Judas. Now, before we go into it, have you ever had a friend or someone in your life that just kind of betrayed you? Yeah, that was like quick, instant, right? Yep, I know how that is. Someone who just kind of stabbed you in the back, if you will. Someone who mistreated you. That maybe just did something that you just, maybe even lost a friendship because of it. Maybe it was when you were a child, maybe it was here recent. Jesus, for 3 years, Jesus fed into these 12 disciples that God gave him. And he basically gave everything for these 12. I mean, he invested everything he had into them. For 3 years, these 12 followed him in everything. Everywhere that he went, these 12 just followed him. I mean, he's put much time into them, much patience, many teachings, so much love into these 12. And these 12, sometimes you wonder as you read through the scripture, like, why did God pick these 12? I mean, they were really kind of a mixture of a bunch of different people. You had a handful of them that really didn't, they weren't the best of the best. They didn't make it through the cuts of the rabbi and all of that stuff as a Jewish boy. And so what they were doing was, now they're going back to their normal trade of being a fisherman. And Jesus picked them. You have a tax collector that Jesus went to. Someone who was not a good person. And Jesus said, you, I pick you. There's 12 people. And these 12 people let Jesus down so many times. But nothing like this last week, the last week of Jesus' life. Nothing like that week. I mean, Jesus at this time knew that he had a little bit of time left, not much. They are now into Jerusalem, and Jerusalem is kind of a happening place right now because it's during the Passover. We're going to go into that, what the Passover is, a little bit later. But people are flooding Jerusalem because of this holiday of the Passover. And so Jesus is there. The chief priests found out that Jesus was there, and they are doing everything they can. They are working overtime to try to find a mole, to try to find a leak, someone who can betray Jesus. They only need one. So if you have your Bible, we're going to start there. Luke chapter 22, we're going to start in verse 1. Luke chapter 22, starting in verse 1. Now the festival of unleavened bread, called the Passover, was approaching. And the chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking for some way to get rid of Jesus, for they were afraid of the people. Then Satan entered Judas, called Iscariot, one of the 12. And Judas went to the chief priests and the officers of the temple guard and discussed with them how he might betray Jesus. They were delighted and agreed to give him money. He consented and watched for an opportunity to hand Jesus over to them when no crowd was present. We don't know exactly when this was throughout the week, but it was in that week, maybe just moments before the Last Supper. Maybe it was a day or two, we don't know. But it happened right before the Last Supper, where Judas was able to get away from the other disciples on his own, probably snuck out, if you will, went to the temple where many people were, and found the chief priests and said, "Hey, you're looking for someone that can betray Jesus? How much are you going to give? Well, how about 30 pieces of silver? Sure. Yeah, that'll do. What do I have to do? You just have to point out who Jesus is, and then we'll take it from there. Yeah, okay, I can do that. 30 pieces of silver? Yeah. Do you ever wonder why Judas did it? Why did he betray such a loving man? I mean, for 3 years, all Jesus did was just pour it into him. Well, we see why, right here in the scripture, we see in verse 3 why he did it. That Satan entered Judas. Well, Satan prompted the whole thing. And how many times in our life do we maybe just allow Satan a little crack at the door? And guess what he does? He opens it wide open. Satan just tries to find a little crack. And here Judas gives them an opening. And Satan entered him. And he betrayed Jesus. Now, not too long after that, we see now that Jesus knew that his time is coming to an end. He has one meal left. And he wants to spend his one meal with his closest people. Now, we all know that Jesus is all-knowing. We already know that Jesus already knows what Judas has done. I wonder how much this was hard for Jesus. I mean, if it was you and me, what would we do? I mean, many people would say, if you found out that one of your best friends betrayed you, and then now you have this celebration, or not celebration, you have this meal, this Passover meal, and this person is supposed to be there, many of us would send out a text or call and say, "Oh, sorry, you're not invited anymore." Many of us would be bitter, would be hurt, would maybe even try to do something to that other person, try to get them back in some way. "You betrayed me? Oh, yeah. I'll get you back in this way. But not Jesus. Jesus still invited Judas to this meal. He still loved on him. And not only that, but Jesus even knows what's about to happen. He knows that in a couple of hours, even Peter was going to deny him. Not once, not twice, three times. So now you have Judas and you have Peter in the midst of this last meal that Jesus was going to have, this intimate time that he was going to have with his closest friends. And two of them let him down. But Jesus still went ahead with it. Let's keep on reading. Verse 7. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover." "Where do you want us to prepare for it?" they asked. He replied, "As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters, and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, all furnished. Make preparations there." They left and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. So we have Peter and John. Peter, again, remember, Jesus knows what's going to happen. But he still asked Peter to go and to help prepare, to help find the place. And he gives them this instruction: go into the city, you're going to find a man with a jar of water, follow him. He's going to have a room in the upstairs, you're going to eat there. It'll all be furnished, it'll all be ready to go. Peter and John at this point is saying probably to themselves, "All right, we've done this before. Jesus has given us weird requests like this. Okay." And so they found this man, just as Jesus said. Now remember, Jerusalem was very busy, tons of people. It's almost like if you try to find a spot to eat on like Valentine's Day or a holiday where everybody else wants to eat, and you just go from place to place and say, "Oh, hour and a half wait." You can't find a table. That's kind of how Jerusalem was. But Jesus said, "I already have it all prepared. I called Olive Garden ahead. They have our table ready. I have it all prepared. You just have to find this man carrying this jar." And they did. And so now they are in this room. The disciples came. Do you wonder what Judas is thinking? What's going through his head? If I was Judas, I would be nervous. Because you know what you're in the midst of. But they're all there. The last meal together, the Passover meal. Now the Passover, This is a time that still, even today, that the Jews still celebrate. It's a time of year where they all come together during the Passover. And they celebrate the time where you have all of these, they look back to when their people, the Israelites, were freed as slaves. Remember the whole story with Moses? Moses going and freeing the Israelites from Pharaoh's hand. All of these plagues at the very end. The last one, they said, the firstborns will die. But then Moses hears a voice from God of saying, but if you sacrifice a lamb and put that blood over the doorpost, all of your children will be saved. And so all the Israelites were, but not Pharaoh and his army and his people. And so Pharaoh was furious and said, get out of my face. Just go. And so they left. They left in such a hurry. Where one of the things that the women made was unleavened bread, which is bread that did not have yeast in it because they didn't have the time for it to rise. They just wanted it to be done fast so they can go and escape. And so because of this, during the Passover meal, it was custom for them to have lamb, because of the lamb that was slaughtered, and to have unleavened bread, and to have wine. That was their custom. And so Jesus wanted to use these elements to help not just show them his love, but to show us today his love. But before that, one of the first things that they did once they entered the room together, Jesus, as we see only in the book of John, we don't see it in Matthew, Mark, or Luke, but while they're in this room together, Jesus got a basin. Now, I have to say, I have to laugh at myself a little bit here. Because in first service, I made a boo-boo. At first service, I didn't say basin. I actually said bison. And I said he grabbed a bison and he grabbed a towel. And I thought to myself, no, that's not a part of the story. I don't remember when Jesus... Anyway, I just laughed at myself after that for my error I made. But he grabbed a basin. Jar of water, probably the same water that this man carried in. Remember that Peter and John found the place? He grabbed a towel and he washed their feet, including Judas, including Peter, that Jesus served them. The one who just betrayed him, he washed his feet. What love. And then right after that, then came the feast. Let's keep on reading, verse 14. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. Do you get this? Jesus says, I have eagerly desired this moment. Even in the midst of what he knew, he still desired this. Why? Why was Jesus still excited to have this last meal together? Because he loved them. No matter what they did, he loves us. No matter what we've done. Verse 17. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, the cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. the Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to that man who betrays him. They began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would do this. Only in Luke do we see that there's two different times we see the cup. We don't see it in any other gospel. Why is this? Well, it is custom in a Passover feast for them to pass around the cup four different times. And so what we notice here is we're thinking it's during the last time that they pass around the cup, just like it's custom, the last time that Jesus wanted to make his point here, wanted to show them what he was about to do. And so it was this last time. So right before that, he took the unleavened bread and he tore it. And he said, "This is my body that was broken for you." Now remember, the disciples have no idea what's about to happen. Not even Judas. You see, Judas, even when he betrayed Jesus, I don't think he even knew that they were going to kill him. Maybe he did. I thought maybe he just thought they were going to arrest him. But they didn't know what he meant. "This is my body broken for you." And then in several hours, they're going to see his body being broken, being shattered. They're going to see the blood dripping. And they're going to come back to this moment. I get it. And so Jesus took it and he tore it, the bread, and he took the cup. And then we see in the Gospel of John, John chapter 13, verse 26, it says, "Jesus answered, 'It is the one to whom I will give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish.' Then dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas." And so he has the elements, and we don't know exactly, but we guess he went to Judas first. The one who betrayed him. He still offered his body. He still offered his blood. And he said, "This is why I'm dying, Judas." And then he shared it with the rest of them. You wonder what was going through Judas's mind when Jesus gave him this. I'm sure it was awkward. I'm sure he probably wanted to find a hole to crawl into. So he tells the disciples, one of you, you're going to betray me. And then they began to question. But just like the disciples, I'm sure that they handled all this maturely. No, not at all. Let's keep on reading. A dispute also arose among them as to which of them was considered to be greatest. In the midst of all of this scene, after all of these 3 years of just trying to train and dive into and love on these disciples, they still don't get it. In the midst of the bread and the wine and him saying, "One of you will betray me." And then they come to Jesus and say, "Ooh, hey, I have a question. Tell us, really, which one of us do you like the most? Come on, you know it's me." What? They don't get it. And then Jesus goes on to share with them of what it truly means to serve. And he said, "I have come to serve, not to be served." Remember, just moments after, he washes their feet and he serves the communion with them. Right after this, as they're kind of finishing up everything, he goes to Peter and he says, "Peter, you, I want you to know, you're going to deny me 3 times. Peter said, "No, not me. I would never do that." "You will. You will." Jesus goes on to the garden. Most of the disciples followed him. He even told a couple of them to stay and to pray while he went off. But Judas slipped away because he had work to do. And he went to the chief priests and he said, "Okay, hey, I know where he is. This is a good time. There's no people around. He's at the garden. Come follow me. The one whom I kiss, that will be Jesus. You will know. Can I have my money? This will go just as planned." And so they did. Judas led the high priests and all of their guards behind Judas, and he led them to the garden, and he found Jesus. Now Jesus knew, he knew what was going to happen. And we see in the book of Matthew, Jesus do something very powerful here, where he looked at Judas in the eyes, and Jesus says, "Friend, do what you've come here to do." He called him friend. The one who just betrayed him, he called him friend. He forgave him. He loved him. He reached out to him. I can't imagine the anguish that was going through Judas after this. We do know right after this, he went back to the temple and he threw the money back at them and he said, "Take it back. I don't want this. I don't want your money. This was a mistake. I'm so sorry." But this morning, we too celebrate what Jesus did for us. And we too have the Last Supper together. And the truth is we are Judas. You are Judas. I am Judas. Because anytime we choose sin, we betray him. And when we come to the table today, when we receive the elements, I want you to picture, as Jesus did with Judas on that day, he shares it with you because he loves you that much. He shares it with you because he died for you. He gives you the bread. He gives you the cup. He calls you friend. He is full of grace, full of forgiveness. And so when we come to this table, we come and we partake in the same. And we are reminded of the sin in our life. That's what we do during the Lenten season. It reminds us of the sin in our life as we bring it to the cross, as we bring it to Jesus, as we allow His blood to cover us. We come to the table. We normally do the reading and everything. I'm not going to do the end reading because it basically just tells us a little bit of the story of what we just heard. But we're going to prepare our hearts as we do just the first part of this, the prayers together. And as we do these readings, listen to how many times it talks about our forgiveness, our confession, us, Judas, coming before Jesus, offering his body and his blood for us. Receive this invitation. You who truly and earnestly repent of your sins, who live in love and peace with your neighbors, and who intend to lead a new life following the commandments of God and walking in his holy ways, draw near with faith and take this holy sacrament to your comfort, and humbly kneeling, make your honest confession to Almighty God. Now let's say the Lord's Prayer together. It'll be up on the screen for you. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who with great mercy has promised forgiveness to all who turn to you with hearty repentance and true faith, have mercy upon us. Pardon and deliver us from our sins. Make us strong and faithful in all goodness, and bring us to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now let's pray the collect together. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. And so today we come to the table. And so we're going to do it in tinction style, which is fairly similar to probably how they did it back then. However, we do have yeast in our bread today. And so when the time is right, we're going to ask you, we're going to have two lines. Pastor Wick is going to come and join me. You could come down the middle aisle and tear a piece off, a piece of bread, and then lightly dip it into the juice, the same way as they tore the unleavened bread and dipped it into the cup. And then take and eat. And remember that this is Jesus giving you these elements, giving you his body and his blood in the same way he did to Judas, in the same way he did to Peter. He gives to us today. Jesus, as we prepare our hearts, will you come and be with us? Forgive us, O God. Thank you for your mercy and for your grace. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here in the Free Methodist Church, we say this is an open invitation. All are welcome to come and to join. And so when the time is right, will you come? Come to the table. Receive his body. Receive his blood. Receive his mercy. Receive his forgiveness. Will you come?